It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. With me right now is Senator Phil Fortunato. You're all about transportation this session. This is you in a recent committee meeting talking about using revenue from marijuana taxes to pay for roads.
Now, what is the nexus between marijuana sales and roads? If you're going to go to hell in a handbasket, you might as well go on nicely paved roads. That's my solution.
Now, you didn't have the music at the time, but I think it would have made your testimony more impactful. What are your ideas when it comes to transportation, and what kind of reception are they getting here in the legislature?
Well, we get a great reception. It's just that, many times we talk in transportation. Transportation is a good committee because there's not too many issues that really are party line kind of issues. So it's a much more congenial kind of committee. And we all agree that the real enemy isn't Democrats or Republicans in that committee. It's ways and means.
Okay.
It's, the evil guardian of the general fund. And you can't take any of their money. So what the plan says basically is, I'm going to take an inflation-linked funding source, the sales tax from the sale of motor vehicles, and fund an inflation-linked problem, transportation. So Secretary of Transportation comes in and he does a presentation. He goes, look, inflation, cost of construction is going up with inflation, cost of right-of-way is going up with inflation. We'd have to raise the gas tax 10 cents to keep up with inflation. So, but the funding that they want to do, the funding source they want to use, is tied to usage, gas tax, mileage tax, that kind of thing. So we need an inflation-linked funding source, and people are going to, the hilarious thing is, 20 years ago, I was a state representative. The budget was $26 billion, and I said, gas tax revenue is going to flatten out. We need an inflation-linked funding source using the sales tax from the sales tax of motor vehicles to fund transportation is that link. And then I said, people are going to buy more efficient, fuel-efficient cars. They're going to buy more electric cars. They're going to buy more expensive cars, right? So now you have something that's going to go up with inflation without raising taxes. So since then, however, we have moved off of providing a steady funding source to a tax project list kind of approach. For 5 cents, you get this many projects. For 11.9 cents, you get this project. And now for a carbon tax, a this tax, a that tax, an impact fee, a gas tax increase, you get this many projects. So we need, but that still doesn't solve the problem. All it's doing is saying every time you want to do something, you got to raise taxes. What in the heck are we paying for now?
Right. Uh-huh. And we already have some of the highest gas taxes in the country, the highest gas taxes right now.
I think somebody just passed one, so I think we went from number two to number three.
Well, no. Great. What is the opposition to this? It just seems to make sense. This is it's linked to cars. It's a tax that comes from cars to fund
things that cars use.
And you mentioned some other things. You mentioned electric cars, more fuel efficient cars. That just means people are going to be using less gas, and so you're going to even have fewer revenues from gas taxes.
Well, that's correct.
So what, what's the opposition? Why would somebody not want to do it this way?
Because it would require a 2.5% cut in the general fund. Because you're taking 2.5%, $1.4 billion out of the general fund. So it's almost $15 billion. So you got $15 billion out of a $50 billion budget.
Right. But aren't revenues increasing? That shouldn't be too difficult. It seems like the state's bringing in more money to the general fund.
You would think that. And you would think, I made the observation in 2018, when we came back to the legislature in 2018 after passing the 2017 budget, we had $2.3 billion more money. Okay, than they expected, a bonus. I was the only one that said the reason we got that bonus was because of the Trump tax cuts and deregulation. And if Democrats want more money to spend, they need to get Republicans elected. Right? I go, but now we come back. And so I made a big deal about this. We should be promoting that fact. And the morning I'm complaining about this to some leadership, that afternoon, the state treasurer, not treasurer, the state
economist
goes on TVW and he says, oh, we got all this extra money, $3.8 billion now, more money than they expected for this session because of the federal tax cuts and deregulation. Oh, we're looking on the horizon for a recession? No, man, we're doing great. We're doing great. Now, my only cautionary note here is the reason we got this extra money is because of the federal tax cuts and deregulation. So we are mimicking that in this state in the reverse. So we are now increasing taxes and increasing regulation. Now, that's my fear, is that's going to slow down the economy.
Talking with Senator Phil Fortunato right now. Speaking of taxes, you also have a bill that seeks to change the name of a state agency. What's that all about?
Well, it's a small little bill. It only does one thing, but I think it might be one of the largest bills passed dropped in Olympia. It was 574 pages.
To change the name of an agency?
To change the Department of Revenue to the Department of Taxation.
Department of Revenue to the Department of Taxation.
Well, and this is a honesty in government.
Yeah.
Measure.
I mean, why is it important?
That's what they do. Let's be honest. It's not revenue. You know, I mean, when you talk about revenue generating and things like that, I mean, in a business context, you're looking at that as earned income. It's not earned income. You're taking my money, right? In effect, you're not really stealing my money. You're just extorting my money, right? But it's a tax, right? You're taxing me to death. That's what they do. They manage taxes. And this actually came to me in a road usage charge committee meeting, because I'm on that committee, and I fought to be on that committee. And bear in mind, this is a charge. It's not a tax. It's not a tax because it's a charge. Well, so it's not a mileage tax.
You're taking money from
we're me. Charging you. We're charging you, but it's not a tax.
You're the government. You're taking money from me. That's generally what a tax is, right?
Yeah, right.
But you're saying it's a charge.
But you can't call it a tax because people don't like taxes. That's why they call it a charge.
Okay.
So it's a road usage charge, the RUC committee. And during that, they had the state of Hawaii did a presentation, and they put a couple of logos up there of some of the state agencies. And one of the logos was the Department of Taxation. And I said, I have to hand it to the state of Hawaii for their honesty. Right? And I go, oh, that's a good idea. We should change our Department of Revenue to the Department of Taxation.
Bipartisan support for this, Senator?
Ironically, no.
All right. What else you have going on?
So we have a couple of things going on. One of them is our affordable housing issue. So, you know, the state... the Democrats are always pushing affordable housing, affordable housing, affordable housing. Hey, I'm an affordable housing guy. I want people to be able to buy houses. Now, I happen to have a lot of expertise in housing because a lot of these guys are my customers. I work on housing projects all the time. So I am looking at the cost of environmental regulations on housing. But we also look at impact fees and building permits and all this stuff. Now, the Democrats can't seem to figure out why housing is so expensive when you have to pay a $9,700 school impact fee, a $1,700 transportation impact fee, $6,700 to hook up to a water line, $16,000 for a building permit, which before you even done anything, you haven't bought a piece of ground, you haven't done anything, and you got to write a check for $40,000. So what happens is the cost of the lot winds up going up to $100,000 by the time you're done. Well, the bank turns around and says, you can't build a $100,000 house on a $100,000 lot. The land can't be more than 25%. That means you need a $300,000 house, which is why you go out there. Has anybody find a new house for less than $400,000?
No, no, not yet. I mean, you know, almost nowhere in Western Washington at this point. I mean, it's getting impossible. Right.
But part, and you know, part of this is the Growth Management Act artificially restricting land and all these other. So government regulations and government laws are things that are driving up the cost of housing. So the Democrat solution, raise the real estate excise tax to use that to fund affordable housing. Let me see if I want to understand. One of my constituents sent me an email and was complaining about this, and he goes, this is socialism. I said, it's not socialism. Socialism is taking your money and using it for somebody else, which is exactly what this is. It's not socialism. It's doing the right thing, right? Because that sounds better. We're helping these people. We're just taking your equity in your house to do it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, isn't that going to push up the price of housing?
Well, yeah,
when you're increasing the real estate, exactly. Because this gets passed on. It's not like, I mean, I think sometimes lawmakers believe that, well, if we hammer the developer. Well, that's not the way it works, because the developer just passes those costs on to you.
Right. So what happens, so here we have a situation where we're going to buy a piece of land and all that stuff. They're taking your tax dollars and, in effect, using that to increase your costs, right? Now, so I ran a couple of simple amendments. I said, all right, if you're going to steal my money and use it for affordable housing, you can't use it for impact fees. No, no, no. That means we're taxing you to pay for a tax, right?
Right.
I go, this is madness. I mean, this is this escalation. So I had what was called my housing affordability zone, right? And it was basically create a box. In that box, if you're a city, you can't charge an impact fee. You can't charge more than $1,200 for a building permit. But in exchange for that, you get to keep the sales tax from the sale of the materials to build a house. The builder who builds in that zone, he gets a 4% B&O tax credit. So it's an incentive for a builder to build these lower income houses. So the object is to build what I call a World War II house. It's 2-3 bedrooms, right. Kitchen, living room, bathroom, that's it.
Right.
So somehow the opposition to this is the stigmatizing of the low income people by making them live in this zone. And I said, you mean as opposed to making them living in tent cities, living in shelters, living in low-income government projects, you know, living in tiny homes? What are you talking about? You know, I go, so I had a bunch of housing advocates out here, and they're advocating for $600 million in state money to be used to build low-income housing, which, by the way, when nonprofits build low-income housing, it costs 23% more. I said, this incentivizes these big builders to build a house. So when they came out here and started saying, advocating for this, there was about 25 of them. Anybody here want a house? Yeah, I want a house. Okay, if we could get that mortgage payment down to $800-$900 a month, instead of you living in that mobile home trailer, you could own a house. That's going to increase. Anybody here want that? Yeah, we all want that, right? But the Democrats and the Association of Washington Cities did a very nice article on it. This is the only bill that talks about making single-family residences more affordable.
You know, and that does so many different things. You get people out of rentals, so the rents are going to go down. You get people in, you know, this dream of home ownership. I live in a two-bedroom house with our teenage daughter. It's a challenge, but I don't feel like, you know, people look down upon me. We were happy when we bought it, you know, to be able to get into a house, right?
Well, yeah, you got to remember, you are housing families in this,
yeah.
You know, and I go, the kid has a backyard. You could go out in the backyard and play with the kid. I go, the object was to move people from low-income apartments to low-income housing, from shelters to low-income apartments, from the street into shelters.
Right, and you're and you know, and you're partnering with the private sector to do it too. So it's not like, oh, big bad government versus big bad developers. However you want to look at it, it's a partnership. It's a private public partnership.
So I said, all right, let's look at this and compare this to the current model of tiny homes. Mm-hmm. I said, Olympia has this little tiny homes village. Oh, we got tiny homes, and nothing wrong with tiny homes. But let's take a look at what that costs the city. Because they're over there saying to me, oh, you're not allowing impact fees. That's costing the city. Oh, you're not allowing us to have a building permit. That's costing the city. Okay, we're offsetting that with this sales tax thing. But let's look at this tiny homes model. The city has city property, and they put tiny homes on that cost them $2.5 million. Every month, they're losing money. And in 10 years... that's being generous, they're going to have to replace all those tiny homes, and they're going to spend more money, and they're losing money every month. And they're not getting property tax revenue. The state isn't getting property tax revenue. The schools aren't getting property tax. And those people don't own anything. They don't have an asset. And as opposed to having them be able to have an asset, all right, you know, you're biting a bullet a little bit from what you're used to by gouging people with them. Because, I mean, it's like they're addicted to these additional taxes and stuff. Mm. So
it's really interesting to me, your approach, because you're not – the other thing I think to keep in mind is you're not talking about doing this yet everywhere. This is – you're talking about zones where this can happen. So it's not like you're taking away all the income, you know, all the impact fees, all, you know, it's just in these zones, kind of an experiment to see how it works. Yeah. And it's, I mean, what it's going to be a minimal cost.
Well, I want you to think about what is the buying power of a national builder compared to the buying power of Habitat for Humanity? Yeah. You know, and then I got one more thing, which is my education thing.
Just a sec. I want to tell people who you are. This is Senator, in case you are confused, it's Senator Phil Fortunato. So one more thing.
Okay. So, you know, everybody talks about education funding. We need more money for more education and all that stuff. So a school district came into my office one time and said, we need more money for special ed. So I opened my drawer and I took out a graph and I handed them a graph of 1,477 regulations that the state of Washington passes on to a school district. And I said, find something that costs $3 million that you don't want to do. Right? So this year I have my school waiver bill. And the school waiver bill says, if you are a school district and you're doing something that does not contribute to the education of the child in the classroom, you can request a waiver. And we have a mechanism to evaluate the waiver. And if you are granted that waiver, let's say that waiver saves you $3 million. I'm going to give you $3 million. And you're going to save the $3 million. But I'm going to save $3 million on every school district in the entire state. If you're a teacher, by the way, I'm going to give you a bonus up to $10,000 if you come up with a way to save money. So if you look at the cost of, you know, everybody looks at the dollars to education, but nobody looks at the cost getting that dollar.
The costs are crazy.
Right. So I'm giving you a dollar, but it's costing you 35 cents. So I didn't give you a dollar. I only gave you 65 cents. Mm-hmm. If I could get that down from 35 to 30, that's $1.3 billion.
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's a lot of money. So we're going through passing all these laws constantly, new laws, new requirements, new this, new that. And I said the difference between a school district and a private business is if I passed a law that cost a private business $10,000, the guy's in my office banging on my desk. You're costing me money. I want this law to go away. If I do that to a school district, they simply come in and say, unfunded mandate, I need more money. Mm. They don't say, I ask teachers, they go, a teacher or somebody will say to me, well, wow, you're so smart. What would you do to cut spending? How the heck do I know? I'm not a teacher. You're a teacher. Yeah. You're an administrator. You know what's going on. You should be telling me. You should be coming to me with a list of 10 things. I don't want to do this.
Right.
You know?
This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Yeah. This is redundant. This is, you know.
You know, but they don't do that because that's not their the mentality, if you will, of you know, how a quasi-governmental agency works.
Well, maybe it should be.
Yeah.
Senator Phil Fortunato, before we go, we have to listen to this one more time.
Now, what is the nexus between marijuana sales and roads? If you're going to go to hell in a handbasket, you might as well go on nicely paved roads. That's my solution.
Senator, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, sir.
Find us online at wasstateledge.org. Follow us on YouTube and Twitter at WashingtonSRC and on Facebook at Washington Republican Senate Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.